Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports update.
Update from One Bills Drive. Bills players with their Tuesday off back tomorrow to begin the practice week for the home opener. The Bills 2-0. The Cincinnati Bengals 0-2. Rookie running back Devin Singletary motored day-to-day with a hamstring strain. Suffered with 5 minutes to go in the Giants win on Sunday. Bills do have adequate depth there with veteran T.J. Yeldon ready to back up Frank Gore. Bills-Bengals, Buffalo's home opener Sunday, 1 p.m. here at New Era Field. All kinds of news all over the NFL today. The Giants have decided to bench Eli Manning. His run as the starting quarterback for that franchise appears to be over after almost 15 years. Rookie Daniel Jones is going to take over beginning Sunday on the road against Tampa Bay. Manning, 38 years old, has made a franchise record 232 starts since he replaced Kurt Warner in November of 2004. Quarterback Cam Newton not practicing today with the Carolina Panthers. He aggravated his foot injury in Carolina's game last Thursday night. And there's no timetable for his return either. Newton went 25 of 51 for 333 yards against the Bucs. And in New York, Jets quarterback Trevor Siemian is out for the year due to a ligament injury in his lower leg. That, according to head coach Adam Gase, Siemian will need surgery after getting hurt in the loss to the Browns 23-3 last night, his first start. As far as Sam Darnold, the regular starter, he will no word on when he'll return. He likely is out for a few more weeks, if not longer. Adam Gase says the Jets are looking for a backup for Luke Falk, who is their third-string quarterback, just signed off the practice squad yesterday and now becomes their starter. Steelers acquired defensive back Minkah Fitzpatrick from the Dolphins in exchange for a 2020 first-round draft pick last night. Fitzpatrick, the number 11 overall pick in 2018, got permission to seek a trade, and he got one. And now Jaguars cornerback Jalen Ramsey wants out of Jacksonville. ESPN says that his agent asked the Jaguars to trade him. League sources said the Jaguars have had talks with teams and are asking for at least a first-rounder. Sabres preseason play at Columbus tonight. They won last night over Pittsburgh by a score of 5-4. That's the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Tasker going into hour number three. We've had a good show so far with good guests, including Arthur Motes joined us to talk about the Steelers situation. There's a lot going on there for the Steelers. We had Kyle Brandt on the line talking about putting the lotion in the basket. And Harrison Phillips just moments ago. Kyle Brandt cracks me up. I knew he was funny. He has 2 weeks now he's been with us. He'll be on with us next Tuesday. He has been funnier than I thought he would be. He's really good.
Yeah, he's really good. He's got a high energy, too. And he's, you know, they scatter. They're kind of like us, a little even more so, that they scatter all over the league, of course. And we're kind of focused here on Western New York and Buffalo. But those guys on Good Morning Football talk about the entire league, so we can bring stuff up to him. And he's on top of it. Nominated Josh Allen for the Angry Run Award, and it was nice. Josh had deserved it. It was fun. Fun stuff.
And, yep.
Frank Gore could have gotten the Angry Run thing, too, from the whole
thing. And the way he bowled over that linebacker. In the back. Are we good with the Colts?
We're good. I like when we have those conversations.
Do you?
Heated exchange on our part by about
– I don't think you heard me. I didn't say – I'm not finding fault with what they're doing. I just say it's not often that a coach will come to that strong a defense for a kicker, and this is a kicker – who has to be at least near the tail end of his career, right?
He's
had a rough go
Absolutely.
Here. You know, if you're a coach, you know, you got to find somebody who can make those kicks on a consistent basis.
I get it, too. And Adam Vinatieri's probably knowing the kind of guy he is and the kind of, you know, guy's won some world championships and he's had some big kicks in his day, shall we say. He's probably a little embarrassed and disappointed in himself.
Yeah.
And that's hard. And when you've had a career like he has, do you really want to go out like that? Probably not. And he's probably at this point, he needs the pressure and the criticism for being the Colts kicker about as much as he needs an extra hole in his head. He's, you know, I mean, the guy is, like you said, he's a Hall of Famer. He's made a pile of money in his career. And the reason guys do that, guys like Adam Vinatieri and Peyton Manning and all these guys you can name that played a long, long time in the league, they do it because it's important to them to keep winning. They don't play for the money. They don't play for all that other stuff. They want to play because they're good at it, and it's what they do, and it's what they love to do. And I think that's why he is. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why Frank Reich has so much confidence and gave him that really unprecedented – vote of confidence going forward. He knows the guy is going to work it out. And you think about
it. Probably hopes and knows.
This is
he may hope more than he knows.
And you know, you think about it with what's happened at their quarterback position with Andrew Luck retiring, probably going to need that guy more than ever. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he doesn't want to hand it over to anybody who they just found on, you know. He didn't want to have to think about that, I guess. So you're saying he's going to go with
think about that tomorrow.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Hey, our Twitter poll today deals with the Bills. They usually do. We'd love to get you involved. What do you think? Two games in, 2-0 record for the Buffalo Bills. You know who the stars have been. Josh Allen's played well. Motor, Singletary's played well. Frank Gore, the receivers, John Brown, Cole Beasley have played well. Defense, a lot of defensive players playing well. But who's the unsung hero through the first 2 weeks for the Buffalo Bills? That's our Twitter poll. It's been up for a couple of hours. Got more than 1,000 votes in on Twitter. You can vote in the poll. Who has been the Bills' unsung hero through the first 2 weeks? Nearly half of you say it's the center, Mitch Morse. Good choice. Steve voted for Mitch Morse. He's a good choice. He's been visible, the contributions he's made to the Bills' offense so far. 19% answered Trent Murphy. That's where my money would go. 19% answer Matt Milano. 17% say somebody else. There's a lot of candidates. We've heard from a lot of them, from people supporting these candidates. Who's been the unsung hero for the Bills for the first 2 weeks? You can vote on Twitter. You can send in a tweet. We'll get back to the tweet sheet in a moment. Or you can give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Take a few calls here. Carl on the line in Buffalo. Hello, Carl. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Okay.
Quick question. What happened to the? I got two questions. What happened to the kicker the Bills had in camp, McLaughlin?
Yeah,
he put 250 yarders into the net, and he made I think two extra points during the preseason. Is he on the practice squad?
No,
nope.
I don't know where he is.
He's not.
Let me look it up real quick and see if he on anybody's practice squad.
Yeah, I don't know if he's in the league or not. You can bet he's probably somewhere with a bag of footballs kicking through uprights, staying ready though, because the climate in the National Football League is anything but what Frank Reich attested to when his defense of his kicker. Most of these coaches are kicking these guys out like a revolving door. When I'm, you know, the last segment, Murph and I were going back and forth how I think that's a mistake. And I think it says something about each kicker or each coach or each situation that most of these clubs do have different levels of patience with these guys. Sometimes, okay. I think it all depends on the outcome of the game the rest of the way, and or the whether the kick was to make or miss to win a game, or extra point, or any extenuating circumstances out of that. Outside of that, I think the critical nature of the miss and its effect on the team has as much to do with the patience of the head coach as the actual kick. You know, so if all I'm saying is if he misses a kick and they still win the game, it kind of is, he'll be all right. That kind of thing, right?
It's easier to do it there,
right.
Sure.
Exactly.
Chase McLaughlin, I believe, signed with the Vikings on their practice squad. But that means he's still a free agent. If somebody wanted to add him to their 53, they could do that. But I believe he's with Minnesota on the practice squad right now. He was pretty good. He was pretty solid. Bills have a really good kicker. Yes, Carl, go ahead. Anything else?
I got one more question. It was about the end of the Denver-Chicago game. And, Steve, maybe you can help me with this, because I looked it up online on the NFL rules, and I couldn't find a rule that fit the scenario. At the end of the game, the Denver went for 2 points, and they took the delay game penalty. Remember how the game ended?
Right.
They took the delay, and the referee said they had the option of trying a 2-point conversion from the 7-yard line or kicking an extra point for the 20-yard line.
Right.
Okay, then Chicago went offside on the extra point that he missed.
Right, and you're talking about they should have taken it half the distance instead of down to the 5-yard line or whatever they did, or down to the 1-yard line?
They've taken it to the 3.5-yard line.
Right.
Instead they put the ball on the 1-yard line. And I couldn't find a rule clarification in the NFL rules about it. Do you know anything about it?
No, I think it is. There is. It's different than it is when it's not an extra point. Like if it's on the I think it's different. But you're right. There was some question about that. And I think what happens is if you're going to trade penalties, you trade the yardage on penalties on extra points. You don't – and you still get the same choices. So if you want to kick the – if you want to make a kick, you go back to the 15 or whatever yard line. If you want to try the extra point – it goes back to the original, the 2 or the 1 yard line, if you're going to try for the 2-point conversion. And so, because of that, I think they just – if you trade penalties, I think the normal half the distance of the goal on the second penalty is wiped away. You know what I'm saying? I think they just wipe away that. I think you have to – if you're going to trade penalties, you don't get a half the distance from inside the whatever on the comeback. You know what I'm saying? I think they just trade back the yardage, the exact yardage you gave up, instead of going half the distance. So, you know what I'm saying? Does that make sense, Carl?
It makes sense. It's only the NFL, if you ever saw the rules on the NFL, I mean, they took up, so much room on the computer just looking up every game.
Right.
Every scenario. And that one, there was no scenario for in there.
Right. And that's, you're right. They've got it wired, and they've got it all mapped out. But I think what makes most sense to me. And I think that's the way it is. But I'll have to get a clarification. I know that question was brought up because what we're saying is, and I don't know if anybody knows, at the end of the Denver-Chicago game, the Denver Broncos went for two. There was a penalty of was it delay a game or
delay a game? Yeah.
Yeah, delay a game. So that's a 5-yard penalty. So they go back to from the 2-yard line. They'd go to the 7-yard line, and that's where they would have to try for two, or if which they didn't think they could make. So they wanted to kick the extra point. Well, then it goes back instead of kicking it from the 15-yard line, they kicked it from the 20-yard line. Okay, on the kick. There was an offside, correct, Carl?
Yes.
On the defense.
He missed the kick and there was an offside penalty.
So what that means is you go back, you have the same scenario going, they just traded penalties, so it goes back. But you're telling me that the officials put it at the 1, not the 2.
That is correct. They put it on the 1-yard line.
Yeah, that makes no sense to me.
No, it didn't either.
I'm totally with you. It should have been a traded, and they should have gone back to the 2-yard line instead of half the distance. Yeah, I think they messed that up.
Yeah. Carl, thanks for your call. Here's John calling from Las Vegas. Hello, John. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Sure.
So I got a couple things for you just like really quick. My unsung hero is going to be Brandon Bean simply because of the remanufactured front line that we did. I think Feliciano would have to be on the top of that list. My second thing, guys, would have to be Zay Jones. He's got 7 targets for the year. Catch it. I really think Zay Jones needs to be taken out of the top 4 in favor of Robert Forster. I mean, last year, Robert Forster average depth of target was first in the NFL with the last 7 games of the season with 20.9. Also, John Brown was on that list. He was 4th with 17.
Can I just stop there? So what you're telling us is that Foster and John Brown have kind of similar traits maybe? So maybe that's where Zay Jones comes in, get somebody else in there?
I totally agree with that. I totally agree with that. But the problem is they've also been putting Foster in the slot, and he's been looking pretty well in the slot. I just rewatched the game again, and Zay Jones really hasn't gotten much separation in the last 2 weeks, especially in the first game against the Jets, which I was there. I seeing a major problem with that aspect of the game, especially if they're going to leave him in the slot. Lining him up sometimes opposite of, when Beasley lines up in the slot, then he'll go out to the end, Beasley. And
yeah, they move around a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, and then, when he goes inside, John, I really believe we need to start looking away from him and starting to put Robert Forster back in it because he's looked really well. And my last thing is how on God's green earth are we putting anybody in the same aspect as Steve Tasker on special teams? Steve, in my opinion, you are a guaranteed Hall of Famer. It's a shame you haven't even been there now. And to even put Saran Neal in that conversation is embarrassing.
Well, okay. That outrage aside, let me here's the thing about the receivers. You got to think about this. Robert Forster was like when he was playing last year with all those things like the caller John just said, he was the number 2 receiver on the Bills at that point because they got rid of Kelvin Benjamin. And Zay Jones then got elevated to the number 1 spot, and then Robert Forster got on the field then, and they started hitting those deep passes. But think about this: Zay Jones finished the season as the top wide receiver on the team with 57 catches. He's the 3rd wide receiver on the depth chart right now, behind John Brown and Cole Beasley, and behind him, who hasn't been playing yet, is, in our estimation, was Andre Roberts, who has got a hamstring and who's has got a quad muscle injury. and he hasn't been on the field yet. And Robert Foster is probably behind him, and as well as Isaiah McKenzie. So Robert Foster, there are reasons for that, and I don't know what they are. Maybe you think Robert Foster is getting undersold by the Bills coaching staff, but there are reasons these other guys are playing ahead of him. And he does get some snaps. He does, and he didn't get a single target in the Giants game, Robert Foster. There are reasons for that. And one of the reasons he got a lot of targets last year in the last half of the season are different from the reasons he's not getting them this year. The reasons he got a lot of targets last year, they didn't have a running game. They didn't have time to throw the football. They sent him deep and let Josh Allen buy time and then heave it deep. That was their game plan almost exclusively in their passing game a year ago. And that's why Robert Foster made hay. It was a simple offense for him. Go deep. This year, it's more complicated, and he doesn't seem to excel at that as much as he did that a year ago. There are many more weapons that are much more reliable, and the coaching staff likes better. Cole Beasley, John Brown, and Zay Jones, and Isaiah McKenzie, and Robert Foster, and Andre Roberts. So Robert Foster's got a tall mountain to climb. I mean, I know you liked him, and a lot of us loved what he did last year as a rookie undrafted free agent. But there are reasons he was there as a rookie undrafted free agent, and all these other guys are where they are in the NFL. And those are being played out in the snap counts and the targets and the way the offense is being run this year. So Robert Foster, at this point, he's on the field and he's active for these games. But when Andre Roberts comes back, who are you going to deactivate except Isaiah McKenzie or Robert Foster? It probably might be Robert Foster.
Might be.
So that's where he's at on the depth chart, and that's just because the team's gotten that much better around him.
Thanks for your call. We'll go to one more call here, Mike in Buffalo. Mike, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Yes, I want to say, it was a good game against the Giants. There was a lot of penalties. Thank God the Giants went offside with the field goal kicking win. Hoskins, he got this $2 million. He's right on the money. That's good. We know we have him. Even though we're playing the Bengals at home, it's going to be nuts, crazy fans. It'll be wild. I'm happy that we got Beasley because we need him to get field opening. We got us to go to the field opening and get touchdowns. If we win against the New England Patriots, I think we're going to win 10 games and go in the playoffs. So,
all right. Thanks, Mike. Yeah, I got 10 wins. I'm not changing either. I'm not either.
I got 11 plus.
You have 11. I don't know where the plus comes
the
in.
The plus is something other than a game, a win.
Something other than a game. You have 11.
I have 11 wins for the season plus.
Plus means nothing.
Something.
I don't know. Sean McDermott.
I haven't decided what the plus means.
Sean McDermott talked to the media yesterday, and he talked about getting set for this game, the Bills getting set for the Cincinnati Bengals, the home opener. Here's what he had to say on how to get ready for your first home game.
You know, we talked about it a little bit this morning. We're excited to play at home. It's good to be home in front of our fans, and yet the preparation still has to be the same in terms of our process and within that, they have to understand that there are a little bit. Sometimes there's some things we have to handle. Tickets, all that process is a little bit different. So we want to get that squared away as early as we can and get focused on our preparation. This is a good football team coming in here. It's early in the season, and we have a lot of work to do. And I think how we work this week and how we prepare will be key to our success.
Steve, I've heard people talk about, oh, this is a trap game for the Bills. It's a trap game, which I think it's kind of a ridiculous – if you're anybody in the NFL, yes, even the Patriots, and you get caught in a trap game, I think you're foolish. I mean, you got to know it's not college football. You're not playing, FCS schools. You're kind of evenly – much more evenly matched than probably any other league. So it's not a trap game, right, Bills and Bengals? The Bengals are 0-2. They're not 0-10.
A trap game – if a team falls for a trap game, it's poor leadership at the top or somebody at the top made a mistake. You can't let your team get into that mindset – and you have to take steps, active steps, during the preparation of that game to head that off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got to preach that message. You got to think about it. You got to sell how important the game is. And you can't let a game, even if you think it is, if the players happen to think they've got this game in the bag, you've got to make sure they know how important it is. They don't let it get away. And it stimulates their preparation. And that's what it is. And that's why McDermott and all these guys, Brandon Bean and the coaching staffs and the players all echo that. It's a process. You don't treat this game differently because it's not different. You got to play it just as well and hard and prepare just as well and as hard as you did for the last game that you won.
Sean McDermott was asked about it yesterday. How do you keep your team grounded after starting the season 2-0? Does he have to do that? Here's what he said. Here was Sean McDermott's answer to that question.
Been around this league long enough to know that we got to continue to grow. We're not where we need to be, and you know, we've got a lot of work to do. And the penalties, I thought we lost our edge a little bit yet in yesterday's game, in particular in the early part of the third quarter, and the way we finished the game. Bless you, the way we finished the game. I didn't think we finished it the right way, so I was not happy with that.
You know, it's funny, and as I heard the comments from Coach McDermott, and he jumped right on the penalties, I thought he's finding things to correct. You know what I mean? This is what I'm going to talk about this week. Because, you know, I looked today, I said, yeah, I guess there have been a lot of penalties. The Bills are right in the middle of the pack. I think they have 15, 16 penalties after two games, 7 or 8 per game. Not good. There have been some issues with penalties, but it's not like they're leading the league. They're in the middle of the pack.
Yeah, it's not, and he's not saying, hey, you got to. Do this against these guys. You got to, you know, it's like, hey, listen, you got some problems. It's talking to his players saying, hey, we got some problems we got to fix. We got too many penalties. We didn't finish the game the right way. You got to straighten that out, you know. And it's great to give them tangible aspects about the games they've played so well in, tangible things that they can look at and say, you know what, he's right. I got to do that. And they keep their nose on the grindstone, just like you and me on the show. Keeping their nose on the grindstone. Yeah. And trying to get better. Yeah. And that's really the key to the whole thing. That's why the trap games, I don't know, in recent, I hadn't thought about this until we just had this brief conversation before the show and then this one. You really don't see that too much in the NFL because the game has become so, I don't know whether bad word, homogenized, you know. There's not that much difference between the Miami Dolphins and a team like the Patriots, where you go in there and they, you know, obviously they did, you know, they got beat badly. But, man, you don't know that going in. There's a lot of doubt in everybody's mind about who's going to win that game. And you don't know until it's over how good that team's going to look. So I think, yeah, you're right. Trap games are for, you know, for SEC teams playing, you know, playing Division II football.
Exactly. Not
teams,
this week.
You know, not this week.
Steve, have you been to Tim Hortons this week? Have you seen the smile cookies at Tim Hortons?
I have not seen the smile cookies.
I've seen them. I haven't got one. I probably will before the week is out.
Cookies. The week.
Smile cookies at all Buffalo area Tim Hortons locations. They are $1 a piece. Here's the important thing. Proceeds go to ECMC Trauma Center. And ECMC will be here selling cookies in the parking lots on Sunday, on game day, in the suites and parking lots. And Bill's social media promoting the smile cookie as well. If fans share a photo of a smile cookie using the hashtag #ShowUsYourSmile on Twitter or Instagram, that fan has a chance to win a pair of tickets to Sunday's game and pregame on-field passes, the home opener of the Sunday, and a $20 gift card for Tim Hortons. It is the Tim Hortons and ECMC Smile Cookie campaign and is underway the rest of the week.
So if somebody goes out, buys a cookie, takes a selfie, and hashtags it to that, they got a chance to go to the game this weekend. Free
tickets. Go to the game, two tickets, and pregame on-field
passes. But it's this game, this weekend.
Yeah.
So they got to dash out and get it done.
Get it done, man. But most people go to Tim Hortons every day, don't you?
Of course. Yeah. Don't you?
I do.
I know.
Yeah.
Doesn't everybody?
I mean, yeah. Most people
listen,
do.
Everybody goes to my drive-thru because I got to wait in line.
Wait
right?
For them.
God, come on. Let's go.
We're back with more in a moment. Come on back and join us. One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health. We're coming to you from the Seneca Studio at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. It's One Bills Live. We're coming to you from our Seneca studio at One Bills Drive in Orchard Park. John Murphy, Steve Tasker here until 3. Good show coming up tomorrow if you want to join us tomorrow. Field Yates from ESPN. We'll hear from Chris Brown on the practice field. We'll talk to Bills players as they come off the practice field. That's coming up tomorrow. Ed Oliver is going to join us tomorrow. We'll talk with another Bills defensive lineman tomorrow. Twitter poll today, it's a good one, I think. Unsung hero for the Bills in the first couple of weeks. Who do you think it is? Give us a call. We just got a few minutes left if you want to squeeze in a call here. 803-0550. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-552-550. Steve, I think we have what the makings of a trend here in the National Football League.
Do you?
I do. And I don't know that it's good. And it's the trend of players demanding, asking to be traded, flexing their muscle. You know, Le'Veon Bell sat out a year. He took a financial hit for that. Antonio Brown, some people think, engineered his departure from the Raiders and subsequent signing by the New England Patriots. There are those who maintain that Antonio Brown insisted he would not come to Buffalo. Minka Fitzpatrick, given permission by the Dolphins to find a trade, he found one, went from the Dolphins to Pittsburgh last night. And now Jalen Ramsey of the Jacksonville Jaguars is looking for a trade. He wants out of Jacksonville. His agent says he asked the Jaguars to trade his client. Steve Young, who I consider one of the foremost observers of the NFL. Former quarterback Steve Young had something to say about this on ESPN last night. Here's what he said.
There's no mobility. It's like, where are you going to go? It is now the NBA. I think, obviously, Antonio Brown proved it. He's ended up in the Patriots. Just act that way, and you end up in the Patriots. And look what the Dolphins did. Lose a game, the first game, like, call my agent. I want out of here. This is the NBA now, and front office of the NFL are going to have to deal the fact that if you lose a couple games or get into all sideline altercation, that guy's going to demand a trade. He's a big name. What are you going to do about it? And I think at this point, it seems like they're capitulating to it. They didn't put out a hard line. There's no one going to be traded. They're going to have to come together as a league and say, we're not going to do this because it'll be insane. Every guy that's on a bad team's like, get me out of here. Give me the Patriots. Give me the Chiefs. Call their agent, and they'll start talking about it, and then it'll become true.
Yeah, Steve Young, he's got an interesting point. A couple of things, though. He is right. It's getting like the NBA. The Golden State Warriors took advantage, right? Kevin Durant has taken advantage of it a couple of times. It is like the NBA. I also think it's the way it's going to have to be. Players, with their increasing financial independence and their increasing profile, celebrity profile, are going to ask to get to the place they want to be. Is it good for the league? No, but I don't know what the league can do about it, Steve.
Yeah, I get it. One of the things that was brought up in the control room, Steve Young wrote a book after he retired, and it was told to me, he was playing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers early in his career after he was in the USFL. Tampa Bay was going to trade him to the Cardinals. And Steve Young, the guy who you just there said they're ranting about the players saying how they want it to be and having it happen, he stopped the trade. He called the owner directly and said, you can't trade me. And here's the thing that is a little bit different than what we're talking about. I don't know if everybody's saying, you know, it's a little bit hypocritical for Steve Young to worry about these guys saying where they want to play and him saying he didn't want to be traded. It is a little different. If the team wants to trade you and you stop it, that's a little bit different than saying, I want out of this organization. It's a little bit of the same, but it's a lot different as well. It's not the same exact example. But I will say this. You have to make, if you're going to trade, or if you say you want out of this place here, I want out of this place, out of this place here, these clubs, you have to have a willing partner. Say, where you want to go? It's going to be really interesting to see where this evolves to, because you're right, Murph. I mean, if these guys don't want to play, and we make a big deal out of culture here in Buffalo, you don't want anybody to blow that up over the course of a two-week period that you spent 3 years building up this culture, and to have it blown up by some guy who says, you know, this team stinks, they treated me badly, da-da-da, all this. Where are you going to go? You know, are you going to want that guy still on this team to ruin that? And what if he's a high draft pick? What if Ed Oliver turned into Antonio Brown all of a sudden? You got a lot invested in that guy. And if he wants out, you'd better get something good for him. But then by the same token, I don't know why this doesn't happen. If you're a player who wants out, and this just occurred to me, Murph, wouldn't saying you want to be traded from your team be conduct detrimental to that team? I would suspend the guy.
Yeah. I think what Steve Young's talking about, and it's a classic, typical old guy rant, is we're talking about control here, right? Who has control?
I get it.
Who has control? If you're a player, do I have control of my fate where I go? I mean, this has been the fight for decades in all sports. You know, this is where free agency comes from. This is where baseball's reserve clause 40 years ago came from. Who has control about where I play and who I play for? Steve Young, again, it's a classic old guy rant, which I've heard before, and I understand it. Well, the team has control. And as you said, it's interesting that Steve Young made that argument based on what you told me about the book that he wrote. But I get it. Players, the more money they make, the more stature they gain, the bigger celebrities they are. They're like, well, shoot, I'm Kevin Durant. I don't want to play in Oklahoma City. I want to play with those great guys out west in Golden State. Or, you know, hey, I'm Antonio Brown. Don't bury me in Oakland where those guys never win, where you know, they probably won't win this year. Send me to the premium team, the New England Patriots. They're gonna have that right. They're going to have that power to do that, not right, the power to do that, and they're going to exercise that power whenever they can, and that's what I think we're looking at.
The only thing that will stop it would be a team like the Patriots who supposedly they find out about all the sexual misconduct allegations against Antonio Brown before the fact. They kind of know about this guy, and they say, you know what, no, we don't want you. Thanks, but no thanks. Certainly, it takes a level of skill to attain that stature, but it also takes a level of tolerance by the team you want to go play for.
I think the most important tolerance is tolerance for your salary. Do we want to pay that guy this much?
That's right.
It's not about off-field stuff as much as it's, is he worth what that contract says we're paying him?
Right. And maybe it will. Maybe the standard for conduct will deteriorate to a point where it's commonplace for a team to look the other way for whatever allegations are behind.
People
tell
you that's already here.
Right. There's some of them, and there's some teams that you can make that argument for, and on both sides of it. I think it's a decision that it comes down from the guy who signs the checks for every team, what kind of organization he wants to put together, and. The Patriots have said, had they known about this allegation that came out after they signed Antonio Brown, they would not have signed him. I don't know.
Different argument.
And that's easy.
Different path you're going down here.
Say it now.
Well, you can say it now. Why not cut him now? Now you know the allegations are there, New England Patriots. So release him if you feel that strongly about it.
Right, exactly. They don't feel that strongly about it. They don't feel $9 million strongly about it. They're not going to do it. Says, we got this financial. That lets them off the hook, right?
Yeah.
So their principles are for hire. You know, their principles are rentable. If they're going to say that, for $9 million, I'll look the other way for whatever you did. I don't care because it's going to cost me $9 million. Well, that, you know, it kind of rings a little bit hollow. My point is,
it is hollow.
My point is, there has to be a team that's willing to take whatever this guy is and whatever he purports to be onto their squad. Now, a guy like Minkah Fitzpatrick, he's pretty widely accepted as a pretty good player, a very good player, and a pretty solid guy. And to see what he's seen in Miami, I think that's also a warning shot against these teams who want to tear it down. It may go further than you want it to go. The Dolphins might have said, Minkah Fitzpatrick, we need him. But now even he's bailing on us, you know? And I think maybe one of the good things that come out of this keeps your team from ever having the excuse that they're tearing it down. You know?
It's an interesting development, and I think Young is right about this. It is just like the NBA now. It's getting there.
There's a lot of layers to that onion.
Let's do true or false. NFL true or false brought to you by Yancey's Fancy New York's Artisan Cheese.
True and false?
True and false time in only a few minutes for this.
Okay,
true or false, number one, the Giants were right to name rookie Daniel Jones as starting quarterback. I can listen to arguments on both sides, and we listened to some of them from our guest at 1 o'clock today, Kyle Brandt. But I say false, and in this sense. Eli has not played poorly, really badly in the first few games. And I think I think it was Kyle Brandt said on our show, well, yeah, but it's the same old Eli. You know, you're down by a couple of touchdowns and he's just sort of plodding along. Well, that's who he is. That's how he became a Super Bowl MVP two times. That's how he has carved his path into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You're two games down. You're not 10 games down. Daniel Jones, I would think, needs tons of development. So I'm going to go false with this one, but I understand the argument why they would want to do it here.
They've given up on the season.
Yeah, which is too early, right?
It's way too early for that. They have no one to blame but themselves. They can blame Eli all they want. It's not his fault. It's their fault. Eli, you said it, their rhetoric themselves is their own. They're digging their own grave. You knew what Eli was. Why didn't you give him what it was going to take for him to be successful instead of trading away Odell Beckham Jr.? Instead of letting all these guys, free agents, walk or signing free agents so late in their career, you were never going to be able to sustain it. It's your fault. You got a quarterback who's been a two-time MVP of the Super Bowl, and yet you let the team around him deteriorate to the point where he can't win. You know exactly what it takes for Eli Manning to win, and you won't give it to him. Whose fault is that? It's yours.
So you say false.
I'm saying, yeah, no, you should change him now. But where are we? Why would you start a season like this? Why would you even start a season like this?
So you say true.
Yeah, it's true. Okay. Right. It's true. But they're idiots for waiting until week two.
They're 0-2.
Week two?
One
Seriously?
More NFL true or false. The Patriots defense will match the 1937 Bears by holding the Jets without a touchdown. Yeah, I don't see a touchdown coming. Sorry, Jets fans.
If the Browns can do it,
right?
The Patriots are going to do it.
They sure can. Yeah, true. I think that's true. All right, there you go. NFL true or false.
How resigned to that are we?
Yeah. NFL true or false brought to you by Yancey's Fancy New York Artisan Cheese. As we go to break, time to honor the AdPro Sports High School Coaches of the Week. This week, we got a couple of them, starting with John Swinich, Section 6, here in the Buffalo area. John Swinich, the East Aurora coach. His team beat Lakeshore 14-0 last week. They're 2-0 on the season for the first time since 2015. And in Section 5, the Ed Pro Sports High School Coach of the Week, John Dowd of Spencerport. They beat Victor 21-12 last week, the first time Spencerport beat Victor, which entered the game ranked number one in the Rochester Large School poll.
I had nothing to do with these two coaches of the week, but I was at the East Aurora game when they played Lakeshore last Friday night, and I saw that win. It was a fun game. It's the first high school game I've been to in a while, and cool. It was a lot of fun. The East Aurora Blue Devils did a nice job that night. It was good.
At Pro Sports High School Coaches of the Week, Steve and I coming back with more. One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health from the Seneca Studio. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Time for What Have We Learned from today's show. It is brought to you by Skyworks, the official construction equipment rental company of the Buffalo Bills. Skyworks, what did we learn today? Good show today. Solid show today. Arthur Motes joined us, former Bills linebacker, former Steelers linebacker, now a radio host in Pittsburgh, talking about the Steelers. Make a trade for Minkah Fitzpatrick last night. Ben Roethlisberger's season is over. We asked Arthur Motes if Roethlisberger will retire after this injury rehab is done. Here's what he said.
A lot of us initially thought that he wouldn't be coming back just because of him having to have a season-ending surgery at this stage of his career. But he released a statement through his social media that said he still has 2 years remaining on his contract extension and he plans to fulfill them. So I really think it's going to come down to how his rehab goes and ultimately how he's feeling once he's completely healthy. If he feels that he still has enough in the tank to be productive, I think we will see him again. But if he feels that he doesn't have it anymore, I think I could definitely understand him retiring.
Arthur Motes on Ben Roethlisberger's future. We had our buddy Kyle Brandt from the NFL Network. He is one of the hosts of Good Morning Football. He comes on the show with us every Tuesday at 1 o'clock. He was hilarious as usual today, but he wasn't funny about this when he asked about the Buffalo defense and just how good this Buffalo defense might be. Here's what Kyle Brandt had to say.
I love it. This is what it was going to be under McDermott, right? I mean, it's reminding me of a couple of years ago, the Tyrod Taylor season, except I think we have a better quarterback now. And look, there's this sense with the defense of, all right, so in the opener against the Jets, maybe the Jets didn't have it. And frankly, looking back now, I can't say this for sure, but I'm not sure that Sam Darnold was right for that game. With what ended up happening to him, he didn't look like himself. Shortly after the game, he comes out. So the Jets, the Giants, obviously broken. When is the Bills defense going to get a test? When are they really going to get tested? Andy Dalton's throwing the ball around some, sure, but it's the Bengals. They just got housed by San Francisco. We'll see in week 4. I mean, we know who we're playing week 4. We know. I'm calling the Bills we now. I must have done 2 weeks with you guys. But I'm excited about it. I really feel that way.
We can't start talking about week 4, Steve.
Not yet.
Although you want to talk? No, we can't. Like, we know what's out there. We know the Bills, you know, it's a home opener. The Bengals are 0-2. The Bills are 2-0. But you got to win this game.
Kyle Brandt was right. Week 4 is the yardstick. No matter what happens in week 3 to the Bengals, barring some, even if it's a close game one way or the other, and we go 2-1 or 3-0, it's not going to mean anything if you're 2-1 going into the week 4 game against New England and you win that game, people are still over the moon. And it doesn't matter whether you beat or lose to Cincinnati.
It matters. Don't tell me it doesn't matter. It's tiebreakers. It matters.
Of course it matters. But in your mind's eye, the fan base and the national media, when you beat New England, that says more about anything that happened in the first 3 weeks of the season. The the yardstick is week four. Not maybe the cumulative effect of the three games, but man, oh man, that week four game
it's big.
Is the yardstick.
We're going to talk about this. Don't discount this week's game, please.
Oh, I'm not discounting it. I'm just saying in the consciousness of the media and everything,
yeah.
I think in the team and the mechanics of the league, you know it's as important as any game on the schedule. But I'm telling you what, the perception of that game is different.
Our Twitter poll today, we asked you the unsung heroes of the Bills 2-0 start, and the pretty overwhelming victory in our Twitter poll was Mitch Morse, the Bills center, got close to 50% of the respondents as the unsung hero of the 2-0 start. Production assistants George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rood, J.J. Torito, Kevin Cargis, James Robel, our producer Jay Harris. We'll see you tomorrow at noon. Got a good show tomorrow with Chris Brown, Field Yates from ESPN, and Oliver tomorrow at noon. Join us, One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health from the Seneca Studio. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.